Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Couple Speak Relationship Forum on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Susan Lager, a psychotherapist and relationship coach in private practice at the Couples Center in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where I broadcast live about various self-help topics and relationship issues. Today's 20-minute podcast, Dog Love in Your Life, is about the benefits to not only your dog, but you and your family as well, when you invite a dog into your home. I know a lot about this, as I rescued a dog a few years ago. We later had to put him down very sadly, but several months later, we rescued another dog, a big baby named Luca. We found him actually on Petfinder, and he has brought immeasurable love and adventure and all kinds of wonderful things into our life. So I know personally and professionally about the effect of having a dog in your life. Now, in this episode, I will explore a few different issues. One is the issue of rescue. Rescue is generally an act of extreme mercy. Its impact is not only on the dog, but on you as well. It's very easy to go out and spend $3,000 on a pedigree dog, the particular dog of your choice, but when you rescue a dog, you're taking a dog either out of an abusive situation or a neglectful situation or some poor dog who needs to be rehomed because maybe his parents are getting divorced, his family is moving, and they're not allowed to have a dog in their new house. So it's often a dog who's displaced or traumatized. And when you rescue a dog, you are bringing a level of meaning into the situation. It's not just getting a dog and the joy of getting a dog, but you are doing something extremely generous, extremely merciful. It really amps up your self-esteem. It can help you feel really better about yourself. You're participating in a really important cause. Plus, on a logistical level, the cost of a rescue is much less than if you buy a dog from a breeder. You're looking at maybe up to, at the most, $800 to rescue a dog. And when you buy a dog from a breeder, you're often looking at, if you're buying a pedigree, you're looking at $2,000, $3,000, sometimes $4,000. I volunteer at the local shelter, and I see the impact of dogs that are brought in often from the South where they're in high kill shelters, and people who have big hearts. Just the other day, an eight-year-old dog was rescued from the shelter. Not from the shelter, but he was adopted from the shelter after having been rescued, and it was everyone's joy. It was really immeasurable. So consider rescue. That's really important. Another issue is having realistic expectations about costs and required services. When you get a dog, it's not just the cost of food, which is more and more expensive, but the cost of treats and often daycare. If you're working even part-time, it can really be helpful to either have a dog walker or some kind of daycare situation, part-time or full-time, where the dog goes during the day and the dog has the opportunity to socialize, to play, to get stimulation, and to get loved. If you pick the right daycare, your dog is going to get a lot of extra attention and care, and it will be a relief on you. So, and don't think of it as all or nothing. You can do certain daycare situations very part-time. But to my point, daycare is an expense. So that's an expense that you want to factor in. Also, veterinary care. your dog is going to need regular vaccines and shots and office visits, checkups, plus your dog may have certain conditions that arise that require emergency care. So consider the cost of veterinary care. A lot of people also add the cost of insurance, pet insurance, and that's kind of a controversial topic because pet insurance is quite expensive, but some people get it because it's insurance against a $10,000 operation if your dog ate a sock and it's stuck in his stomach or it's stuck in his throat. You may want to get pet insurance for catastrophic situations so that you're not faced with an enormous unexpected bill. So having realistic expectations about not only costs, but required care and time is really important. Don't think that you can get a dog and just leave the dog at home all day by him or herself, and that'll be fine. You just come, maybe walk the dog for a quick little walk in the morning and then a walk in the evening. I'll get to that issue when I talk a little later about common misconceptions and bad decisions by humans, but factor in the reality that the dog is a sentient being who is going to need attention and care. Otherwise, the dog may get destructive at home or just may mope around and be a sad sack. You want your dog to be stimulated and to be incorporated into family life. So look at your schedule, look at your energy, and consider that as you're considering a dog. So another issue is when you accept dog love into your life, you are essentially ensuring bonding, these psychological effects on you and the dog of bonding. It's like having another child, but one who doesn't need to go to college or have a wedding or a bar mitzvah, one who doesn't talk back, but one who needs attention and love and care. And they know a lot about the effects of bonding with a dog, that there's neuroscientific evidence to the effect that when you look at a dog and a dog looks at you, and especially when you touch a dog, you're making physical contact, you are releasing a flood of oxytocin. You're both in an oxytocin bath. Oxytocin is the bonding hormone which nursing mothers and their babies get immersed in, during the nursing stage. And so it promotes bonding. It's the love hormone, and it's a feel-good hormone. You are opening yourself up to being infused with feel-good hormones, you and the dog as well. And I wouldn't minimize the impact of bonding with a dog. It's very strong. I've met people whose favorite being in the world is a dog, their dog. And people who, when the dog passes or they have to put the dog down, have been really clear about the fact that it was the most difficult loss of their life because the love between you and your dog is so pure. They will love you unconditionally. And they don't talk back, and they don't guilt you. They'll manipulate you into treats or attention, but it's a very pure love. And I'm inviting you to consider the possibility of that kind of love in your life. It's very corrective. It just expands you in many ways. So then there's the effect of providing needing exercise on them. And it's not just taking them for a walk in the morning and at night the way people used to think of, you have a dog, you take them for a 10-minute walk. That's really not enough. A lot of breeds, like we have a lab who needs at least an hour of exercise. He came 10 pounds overweight and left to his own devices. He'll just kind of sit around and chew something in the backyard. He doesn't chase balls, believe it or not. So he's an example of a dog who needs vigorous exercise and situations that are conducive to that. One of the things I would encourage you to explore is the trails in your area. Even if you live in a city, there are dog parks and there are generally areas where there's more nature. But especially if you live in a suburban or countrified area, there are generally trail systems nearby. There are always parks. There are dog parks. And it's important for you to look at the impact on you and the dog of being in nature. It's very corrective for you. It ramps up happiness. It ramps up good hormones. It energizes you. It helps you maintain the proper weight and the proper weight of your dog. It also, and this has been a real surprise for me because we regularly go to local parks where they allow dogs, before the park opens, dogs to be unleashed. And it's a community. It's really a culture and a community of dog lovers. Dog lovers are the friendliest people on the planet. Everyone's admiring everyone else's dogs. The dogs bond. You're shooting the breeze with them. It's a real good bonding experience. You meet some really lovely people when you're out in a park or you're out in some natural situation and you're meeting other dog lovers. So it's a great way to make friends, and it's a great way to get tips on where you go for this or that and what you do about different behaviors. It's a great resource. So you are adding that to your life when you're getting out. You're killing a lot of birds with one stone when you're getting out and exercising with your dog. Now, I want to end the show with some common misconceptions and bad decisions made by humans. I think I would put it all into the category of objectifying the dog. People say things like, it's just a dog, which treats a dog like an object that doesn't need attention, you're in control, the dog will just accept whatever scraps of love or food or whatever you throw its way. That's a very common misconception because we now know through the fact that dogs are having MRIs, we know from brain studies that they respond more intensely actually to praise and love than they do to food, which is a very surprising discovery. But dogs need attention, and I've seen dogs get depressed. The first dog that we rescued a few years ago was in a neglectful situation where the owners would go out trail walking and they would go out on excursions. They never, ever took the dog out. They thought that if they threw a ball to a dog 8 times a day in the morning and at night, that was sufficient. That is a very common misconception based on objectification of the dog. The word would be depersonalization, but the dog is not a person, but is turning the dog into an object. So I think it's a bad decision to leave a dog all day alone with no stimulation, no walker, no attention, and think that you can come home after the dog being home alone for 8 to 10 hours and have a happy dog. I also think it's a very bad decision to crate a dog for any extended periods of time. I think it may protect your stuff if you're worried about stuff getting destroyed, but I think it's really a bad decision. So don't get a dog if you have no time and no energy. That would be a very bad decision. It would not be a loving, kind thing. And that's pretty much it. So I hope you've gained some useful information about this. We're just about out of time. Thanks to my listeners, who I hope will be able to use this information in a productive way and gain some insights about this topic. So have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.